Welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast with your host, Steve Abramowitz, editor-in-chief of the Mill Creek View newspaper.
Welcome back to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast. We're focusing on the volunteer state and our nation today with always an interesting person making a positive change in our community. This time, special guest, Cole Walker. But first, for more information about the Mill Creek View podcast, visit us anywhere you get your podcasts and socials at Mill Creek View, Tennessee. While you're there, please subscribe. And welcome to our People in the News episode, where I interview people who are making an impact and are lovers of truth. Today, we are talking with 2022 Rodeo National Champion, Cole Walker. Cole Walker was born on December 5th, 2000, son of Randy and Myra Walker. Older brother Ben is a UT Martin Rodeo alum. Going into his senior year at UT Martin and majoring in agricultural business, Spartan, Tennessee native, and Cookeville High School alumni, Walker became the ninth cowboy in the UT Martin Skyhawk program history to win an individual national championship and coach John Luthi's last in 25 years before retirement last year. He joins an illustrious group that includes Skip Emmett, 1975, all-around and bareback riding, Tony Coleman, 1977, all-around, George Meisner, 1981, all-around, Mike Merchant, 1985, saddle bronc riding, Cody Matthews, 1987, steer wrestling, Frank Graves, 1993, team roping, Brett Gould, 1993, team roping, and Jeff Askey, 2010, bull riding. Walker's 270 all-around points edged out Fresno State's Cole Dodds, 245 points, for the national championship. Walker entered Saturday's finals ranking second in the standings, but was boosted by an 80-point effort in tie-down roping and 60-point performance in team roping on the final day. Very exciting. Overall, he accumulated 160 points in tie-down roping and 110 points in team roping at the 2022 CNFR. Hello, Cole. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. I love it when it's sunny here in Tennessee. It's a great day. How are you spending the end of your junior year here?
Actually, my senior year. I've been studying a lot. It's come down to crunch time. This week and next. I took two tests today, actually.
Oh.
And I have about four to take next week, and I plan on graduating the 6th. Of May.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. All right. I thought you were a junior, so it looks like you're going to be on your way. You were voted the best collegiate all-around cowboy in the country. The Sparta, Tennessee native becomes the ninth Skyhawk cowboy to ever win a national title and first since 2010. So congratulations to you.
Thanks, sir.
Will you be in the Franklin rodeo? Will you be here in Franklin on the 18th
yes,
of May?
Yes, sir. I'll be in Franklin that Friday night. In the performance, yes, sir. The Pro Rodeo in Franklin, yes, sir.
All right, very cool. I'll see you there. Tell us about your dad. Was he an influence on your life in rodeo?
My dad, yes, sir. I've never actually seen him rope a calf or team rope a steer. He is my biggest supporter. He actually was a race car driver and a diesel mechanic, still is to this day, to the diesel mechanic. We have a family business in Cookeville. He bought my brother a horse, and my brother enjoyed riding, and one of his customers at the diesel shop told him that if he enjoyed riding and maybe wanted to rope and become a cowboy, that he would help him out. And after that I was born, my brother and I are 10 or 9 years apart. Oh. And I've known nothing else except rodeo. I actually only played peewee football growing up as a kid. That was it. No other sports for me.
Wow.
He has turned out as many calves and practiced with me more than anybody. Drove me more than anybody. And he's the real deal.
That's great. That's fantastic. I bet he's really proud of you. So you just said your brother was rodeo too. Is he still in the game?
Yes, sir. He actually came here to the University of Tennessee at Martin. Big influence in my life. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't do what I do. He and his now wife, she also went here to UT Martin. They live in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and they still rodeo on the weekends. He has his own business, and she's an occupational therapist. So
what kind of business is he in?
He has a roll-off dumpster business. So if you need any dumpsters in Jonesboro, Arkansas, Walker Waste is his.
All right. That's great. Well, I'm sure they're both very proud of you, but he's not rodeoing anymore. He's doing that.
They rodeo on the weekends when they're not working close to home. They go a good amount.
Awesome.
They grew up and had to get jobs.
Okay. Any other sisters or brothers?
No, sir.
Just the two of you? All right. Full house. So we had your last coach, Luthi, on here, episode 63. How was your relationship with him?
Growing up, I was obviously, like I said, I was 9 years younger than my brother. So I got to see things as a younger brother as I watched him go through high school and be recruited and then go to college. And the guys that he was around and his teammates are like brothers to me. But Coach Luthi has always been nice to me, always encouraged me. There's no other man that can make you feel like you could climb the biggest mountain and do it today. His mental game is awesome, and what he teaches is great, and there's no comparison to it.
That's great. Yeah, he said, what a way to end the season. For Cole to win this national championship is a big deal. Those don't come around too often. I am so proud of not only Cole, but our entire team. My coaching career has been a blessing, and to wrap it up this way is very special. Did he leave you with any memorable parting words or anything?
He texts me every now and then. We still stay in touch. And he tells me to keep my head down and keep striving for what I want. And I tell you what I did do. He held a meeting every Monday at 5 o'clock, our team meeting, and he would go over what our plans were for the week, and he would always have two or three handouts that were motivational to really help our mental game, and he would always end the meeting with a little devotional. And before he left, I told him I wanted every handout he ever printed off or made, and I have a folder that's probably 6 inches thick, and I have every handout he ever gave, and I try to read them every day, and they're just like a page long. Some of them aren't even that long, but they can really start your day off on a positive note. Or if you forget to do it in the morning, I try to do it before I go to bed, if not. So I try to do that, and I have enough that
that's amazing.
Two or three years before I read the same one. So,
well, let's ask him if we can make it into a book. Let's push that around.
That'd be pretty cool. That'd be pretty cool. Yes, sir.
And he's a man of few words. So for you to have probably 30,000 of them would be pretty special.
There's a lot of papers in there. It's crazy.
So I'm curious, you know, he said that he lets the horses speak for themselves, you know, great guy. Well, first of all, did you go to his retirement party at the Hardy Graham Stadium press box?
Yes, sir. I had just got back from the college finals. It was 2 days after, and I went and celebrated with him. Not only, you know, we were celebrating his retirement, but just the memories we had together. And the coach now, Chase Thrasher, he was there, and I hadn't had all my stuff ready to move back home for the summer yet either. So that was another reason to stay around, but I wouldn't miss it for the world.
That's good. Was there any memorable appearances there or anyone that came back?
There were some older, I don't want to say older, but there were older teammates that he had previously coached there, and I got to meet with them, and it's always good. And all the guys that I look up to, they're my brother's best friends. They were all coached underneath him. And so I see all kinds of guys like that and ladies, too, that have been impacted by Coach Luthi. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So how does a coach a Bronc rider? What kind of help did he give you to get to a title?
Well, I have sat in on some of the Bronc riding the coaching of the Bronc riding. I just strictly rope and steer wrestle. Coach Luthi's one of his biggest things is he can sharpen some of your skills, but he feels like you've made it this far in your rodeo career that now it's his job to sharpen you up mentally, because pretty much anything you do is 80% mental and 20% physical.
Really? Okay. All right. So the new coach, Columbia, Tennessee native Chase Thrasher, you just said it, took over as he's only the fifth head coach ever and has his own basically remarkable career as a University of Tennessee at Martin Rodeo student athlete himself, even competed alongside you in team roping at the 2021 CNFR, right? But you don't.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How is he going to do without you?
I don't know. There, I actually had a conversation with him yesterday. He's really trying to get me to come back. He'll do great. Everybody's just got to put their head down and keep grinding. So there'll be more recruits come along, and as long as they want as bad as everybody else does, we'll all be good.
Okay. So he ranked second in the Ozark region, seventh nationally in tie down roping in 2020. So he's pretty darn good. Do you think he could get a repeat championship out of the team that's going to be going in the fall?
I hope so. Everybody they're out of the men's team that went last year. There is, we actually are adding two more guys to get to go this year. This will be the same team as last year. Unfortunately, my team rep partner is not going to be able to get to go. He got into vet school and actually has to fly out this Sunday after our last college rodeo. So he is doing some bigger and better things.
Is that McCraw?
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah, I want to ask you some questions about him in a second here. So that national championship was at Fort Wyoming Center, which is like 1,255 miles away from you.
yes, sir.
Had you been to Wyoming before, and is that a good place for rodeo? Did it help in any which way getting you what you needed? And how did you get there, and how did the horses get there?
With college rodeo, we're not sanctioned with the NCAA, so we don't get on a bus and just show up as a team. Our coach has a lot of faith in us. We have our own trucks and trailers and our own horses.
Oh.
And when it's time for us to be there, we're responsible for getting ourselves there. And normally we will ride with either a teammate or two just to split the cost of diesel fuel and expenses. It being in Wyoming, I've been there multiple times. I got to go there, not to the forts or the Fort Center in Casper, but I have been there in the previous years, my sophomore year. But in high school, all the high school finals, rodeo finals are in Wyoming. So that really didn't have a play on anything. We left, there was four guys got in the truck, and we just drove out there, took turns driving and stopped every 7 or 8 hours and walked the horses. And it's a pretty good setup. The weather's awesome. It's beautiful out there. It's definitely different than Tennessee.
Okay, that's very cool. So it was an exciting night for you. You actually came from behind on the last day, which would be very exciting. Your 270 all-around points edged out a guy from Fresno State, Cole Dodds. He only got 245 points. He killed him. Had you met Dodds before that night, maybe competed with him over the years, and did you think you could beat him?
I have actually known Cole Dodds since my freshman or sophomore year of high school. A great guy. To be honest with you, I had no clue that I had any chance in all around. We were out enjoying a night on the town, and a fellow competitor from Missouri Valley College came up to me and was like, "Man, good work. You're really doing a good job this week." And I had no clue, because I didn't have just an outstanding week at first. It kind of was just mediocre. And towards the end of the week, we kind of got on a heater and finished out strong. I did know that I was the only guy to come into the final round in two events. So I felt confident that surely that I could do good in one, as long as we did that, we'd be good. So, and we had luck in both of them. So I was pretty ecstatic.
Yeah. And when I say exciting, I mean it. 80 points in tie down roping and 60 points in team roping on the last day, which helped you win.
Yes, sir. It was pretty crazy. To get that award, it really means a lot, because there's not many guys, especially on this side of the Mississippi River, to really do that, and much less, I don't know. It's very, when you win that award, that you've done something.
Yeah. And was it a belt buckle or a trophy or?
I won a saddle. I won a belt buckle, a Yeti cooler, jeans, shirts, boots, supplements for my horse, money. It was a pretty exciting deal. A couple plaques, and to know that I did that, and I'll be able to tell my kids I did that one day. So
yeah, they put something up at UT for you.
Supposed to be. I haven't got to see it yet, but supposed to be. Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there anything in rodeo you don't like to do, or that you shy away from because you're not good at it?
I told you earlier I don't compete in anything, but the calf roping and the steer wrestling, the rough stock events, I like watching them. I like helping out. I don't participate in them. They're pretty hard on your body. I will say I only steer wrestle at the college rodeos. It's a little nerve wracking sometimes, and I don't much like it, but I do it for the team, and it pays off every now and then. So hopefully this year I get to qualify to go to Casper and the steer wrestling. Also, I should get to go in the calf roping and the team roping again. So,
and that would be post-college. That's not for UT Martin. That would be in the rodeo circuit yourself now, 'cause you're a graduate.
No. Okay. So like I said, I graduate next Saturday, but you still get to finish out your season at the final. Like, if you qualify for the finals, you still get to go to the finals, and then after that, you'll be done.
Okay,
so
great.
They're
good.
They're June 11th through the 17th.
Okay.
So,
and who's your biggest competition, and how close to you are they, or are you like far and away the best?
I'm actually sitting second right now in the Ozark region in the all around. There are some guys from Missouri Valley College that ride rough stock, and they are lights out. They do an awesome job. And honestly, last year I thought that they were obviously going to be my biggest competitors even out there, because they're very, very good, and they had a bad week. But I mean, they're sharp. I try to stay sharp, and it's kind of a back and forth battle. So
okay. No names that we can watch and see how you do against?
Yes, Ty Pope. Ty Pope from Missouri Valley College. Okay. He is his brother actually is the reigning world champion in the PRCA in the bareback riding. And so he has a pretty good mentor, and he does a really good job. And it is not going to be surprising to see him at the finals, the NFR, and maybe this year or next, or in the next couple. He's really got it going on.
Okay. All right. So tell us about the UT Barton program. You started as a freshman. You've been with it the whole time, right? Because you started rodeo long before that, you said, as a little kid. What did the program do for you, and how did it kind of blow up onto the scene? Because it hasn't always been a powerhouse, let's just call it.
So coming into my freshman year, all the guys that I look up to locally and some nationally came here to school. That was a big part in it. They came here. They're successful. I want to go to where the guys that I see that successful go. Coach Luthy really changed my roping mentally. I can't say I'm always the guy that sticks around for the average. I try to win first every time I nod my head. And when I say average, normally two or three head of cattle, or as in like I would rope twice and the aggregate on two of those put together. I normally try to go for first every time I nod my head, and Coach Luthy tried to slow that down just a little bit, because the guy that wins second, third, every time he nods his head is going to get further than the guy that wins first one in every five times. So, and with it being a year-long deal, we just got to keep chipping away. And if you go out with a no time or anything, you can't chip away that way. So, coming into that, Coach Luthy helped me there. Coach Luthy pushed me to be better, not only in the arena as a person too, outside of the arena. And that means a lot. He pushed me to enter more and put myself in more situations to win. So when it got time for crunch time or the pressure's on, you've been there and you know how it feels.
That's great.
And then in 2014, that was kind of their big deal when the men's team nationally won the college deal in Casper. And they've had some success the last couple years, and we had a good year last year. So hopefully we can do it again.
Thanks to you. The University of Tennessee at Martin Athletic Department broke other records too. Cumulative grade point average, boasting a 3.33 GPA during the 2002 spring semester. Do they put big emphasis on classes there over things like sports?
Yes, sir. As I came into school, I can say that Coach Luthy emphasized that it was college, then rodeo. Every time he would say it, he does, and Coach Thrasher does now. Still, they really emphasize on our grades, and we can't practice if we're not doing good in school. And school comes first. Even the athletics wants us, you know, to get the schoolwork done, and they're willing to help, and they push us, and they check on us. I have an athletic advisor, and she keeps track and makes sure that I'm on top of stuff. Because at the end of the day, we're here to get a college education and then rodeo afterwards. So
that's great. 248 UT Martin student athletes earned a spot on the athletic director's honor roll this spring, 18 from rodeo, while 22 Skyhawks maintained a perfect 4.0 GPA for their collegiate careers. Since the AD honor roll program was instituted at the start of the 2019-20 season, a total of 1,554 student athletes have racked up at least a 3.0 GPA. That's good stuff. Kaiser, I think is how you say it, and McCraw, your partner, were on that list, so good for them. I think I counted four ladies of the 18. Do you follow the Lady Skyhawks rodeo team also?
Yes, sir. We are actually, I would guess you would say, co-ed. We practice together. We all live in a pretty similar location, so we're with each other every day. When we go to the rodeos, we help them out. They help us out. They have their own team, yes, but we help out each other, and we're there for them, and they're there for us. So I do keep up with it, yes, sir.
Any standout and lady Skyhawks that you?
Emma Kate Wilder has had a great year. Savannah Moran. They're knocking on the door to go to their first college finals this June. And we have, like I said, we have our last college rodeo of the season this weekend at Northwest Community College in Senatobia, Mississippi. And we've been on a heater after our home rodeo last week we had our home rodeo here at UT Martin. We won 6 out of the 9 events in one night. Men's and women's. We had a great night, a great weekend. Both men's and women's team won for the weekend. That's like the first time it happened in 10 or 15 years at our home rodeo. Like I said, the whole team as a whole, men and women's, we've been getting after it, practicing. We've got two coaches coaches, and they're pushing us, and they want it just as bad as we do. So when you got good leaders, you'll have good soldiers. So
that's right. And the UT Martin athletic director, Kurt McGuffin, said, "I continue to be amazed by our student athletes' commitment to academics. To rewrite the record books for 5 semesters in a row is quite a feat. When you throw in the fact that 4 different programs also won an Ohio Valley Conference championship, and our community service efforts in the aftermath of the Dresden tornado, it was truly a banner year for Skyhawk athletics." Sounds like a great school.
It is. You can't ask for a better school. The school stands behind you. The community is here for us. It's not just a huge school, not a huge town, but it's big enough to make you feel at home, or small enough to make you feel at home, but big enough that you're definitely away from home, if that makes sense. The school is great. The professors work with you. They want to see you succeed in and out of the classroom, even in athletics. So I have nothing bad to say. They've taken care of me, and I've got a week and a half here, and I want to say I'm dreading it, but then again, I'm happy because the real world comes in 2 weeks. So.
All right. Well, before that happens, let's go back to that special night. The rodeo team scored the most points at the CNFR since 2015 and the 9th national top 10 finish since 2005 under Coach John Luthi, who did coach his final rodeo. So I'm sure there was a moist eye there for that. He said, "What a way to end the season." Let's talk about your teammates. Okay. On you and Will McGraw, am I saying that right? McCraw,
yes, sir.
Yeah, North Carolina guy, made it to the Saturday night finals with you. He's got a big future too, doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You and McCraw finished 5th nationally in team roping, while you also placed 5th in the nation in tie down roping. You were a heeler, joined by him as a header. Stupid question for me. What's a heeler and a header, and which is more difficult, being around the feet or the horns?
I want to say that the header's got, he's got a lot of pressure on him. He's the quarterback of the team. He has to know when to leave. He can't break the barrier, which is gives the cow the advantage. He ropes the horns. He has to set the run up or the play up. And I would say I'm the receiver. I finish the run or the play, for some to understand it. He's got the harder part, I would say. Okay. But some say that Helan's more difficult, but I don't have to know when to leave. I just have to steer and finish the run. So I basically just got to catch the ball and score the touchdown.
So. Okay. That's not easy. So you two clinched your spots in the finals after collecting times of 11.5 seconds in the first round, 7 seconds in the second round, fourth best time of the 46 teams, and 11.5 in the third round. You guys completed a successful week with a 12.0 second performance on Saturday, giving you both 42 average for the CNFR. Is that how you recall it all going down?
Yes, sir. Like I said, it wasn't just a heater at first. We weren't on a heater, and it wasn't nothing that he did. He was lights out. He didn't make a mistake. I was the one making the mistakes. They just happened to make a few more than we did and let us get back.
Awesome. So senior Jack Smithson, Springfield, Tennessee, was the second place saddle bronc rider in the Ozark region, narrowly missing a spot in the finals after placing 14th nationally out of 39 cowboys. Any nice things to say about Jack?
Jack came back. Jack and Will and Jesse came back for their super senior. Well, Jesse's the same age as I am, so he's here on his senior year. But Will McCraw and Jack Smithson both came back for their masters, so they're getting to go again this year. Both great guys. Jack, he's got the bronc riding figured out. He's progressed a lot, even since last year. He is winning the Ozark region now. I mean, they can't catch him. He's on fire. He's doing good in the pro ranks right now. So I'm excited to see what June's got in store for us. when we get there.
Awesome. Another junior, Jesse Kaiser, I mentioned earlier, he's from Coloca, I think is how you pronounce it. Actually, it's probably not how you pronounce it, but that's what I'm going to read.
Coleoka,
Tennessee. Man, I'm a newbie. He won second in the region's steer wrestling. He'll be back again, right?
Yes, sir. He's with us. The men's team is winning second in the Ozark region right now, and Jesse's placing in the Bulldoggin. So we're going to get to go again as the same team we went last year, but we get to add two more guys. So we're excited.
Okay. Wyatt Hart was one of only three Cowboys to qualify for the finals in bull riding that night. It's pretty close-knit team. You guys buddies too?
Yes, sir. He was actually my roommate my sophomore and junior year here. So
you know him pretty well then.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. Does he snore? No, just kidding.
No, I was actually about to say that. Yeah, he snores really loud.
So I won't tell his girlfriend if he has one. David Brewer being named honorary rodeo team captain for 2022. Is he the one that's going to take it home for everybody?
David Brewer is an alumni here. He's probably, I don't want to shout out his age or nothing, but he was here when Coach Luthi, I think before Coach Luthi even got here and coached. Great guy. He's a booster club member. He puts in a lot of effort, volunteers, is there for us. He does the radio broadcasting during the home rodeo. Couldn't have happened to a better guy.
Nice. Last year, former UTM rodeo greats went into the Rodeo Hall of Fame. Will Loomis, John Alley, Clark Adcock, and Heather Moore. I want to know, were any of them at Luthi's retirement? And do you think you'll be joining them in the Hall of Fame?
I hope to be joining them in the Hall of Fame. They were not at Luthi's retirement. Will Loomis is actually now a coach at Northwest Mississippi, where we're going this weekend. We've kind of got him. He's a feeder school for us, so they go there 2 years and then hopefully come here and rodeo for us. John Alley, Clark Adcock, they are very, very close to my family. Great family friends. I look up to them as big brothers. They're another reason why I came here to Martin. They have been outstanding and stood out in the roping world for the last 15 years or so. So, and I do know Heather Moore. I remember her and she was awesome. Her and her horse did outstanding when they rodeoed for us.
Very long cool. time ago.
Yes, sir.
Did any of the cowboy singers ever come visit you guys? Like Cole, no, you're Cole Walker. Cody Johnson from Texas or anything like that, the guys who do the rodeo?
No, contest? They don't come visit us, no sir.
Okay. All right, so the Skyhawks placed 10th overall at the college national final. What can UTM look forward to when the season kicks off again next year, when you are officially Argonne?
New beginnings. It's always a new year. At the end of the day, you might have been the champ today, but tomorrow's a new day and somebody else can be the champ tomorrow. But you gotta just keep striving to be better. And I think that with both two new coaches, they've had a year to get their feet underneath them. They're going to be a little more sharper and know what to, you know, coach on a little more, stay tuned up with their players. And they will actually be starting with a whole new group because there's six of us that are leaving and graduating on the men's team. So hopefully they'll start off fresh and keep the ball rolling and everything will be great.
Any new exciting ones on the team now? Freshmen, sophomores maybe, or transfers?
Savannah Moran is a freshman. She has been dominating in the barrel racing on the girls team. That's really a new one. Maybe Allie Maxwell. She's from close around here. She's been doing pretty good too. And those girls got it going on and they're doing great their freshman year. So their sophomore year, they can do awesome.
You think you ever see yourself coming back as a coach or assistant one day?
It takes a special person to be able to coach college kids. You got to be patient and slow to speak. I don't foresee me being a coach. No, sir, I do not. Being under Luthy, I can be mouthy, pretty mouthy sometimes, and he would have to tell me to quiet down. But no, I don't think I could be it. I'll be real honest with you, no, sir.
Okay. I would have liked to have seen that. What's your plans for after graduation?
I graduate. Like I said, I graduate next Saturday, the 6th of May. I'm going to most likely move home and work for a little while. I have pretty much secured my spot to my first Southeast Circuit Finals. That's a professional level. And then come October, I will buy my pro card. I'm on my permit now. I'll buy my pro card in October and try to win the rookie for 2024. And try to do that for a couple years and set goals that are reachable and hopefully achieve those goals and then just keep setting higher ones. And that's the plans for right now for 3 or 4 years. And then I will most likely go back home, and my dad owns a family business and work for him.
Awesome. So that sounds great.
Yes, sir.
Going to settle down, raise a family?
Hopefully. Yes, sir. I don't have a girlfriend or anything.
Uh-oh, ladies.
Right now. So I've had one in the past, but I don't. So hopefully in the future I might find the right one. But right now we're doing Cole Walker and putting my rope in first and trying to achieve some goals that I've set. So
that's good, because I heard a song once upon a time that mamas shouldn't let their babies grow up to be cowboys. So just do your thing for now. Well, thank you, Cole, for your time. Really appreciate you coming on here, talking straight like you did. We are at the end. Tell everyone where they can go and find out more about you or follow you on social media if you do that kind of thing, and where you'll be, I guess, in the next few months for rodeo so we can watch you.
Facebook, Cole Walker. Instagram, I guess, Cole Walker 13. I go to Sanatobia, Mississippi this upcoming week. The following week, I'll be in Kansas City, Missouri on Monday. I would have to look at the dates. I'm not by calendar.
Monday's the first.
The first. I have to be there the first. I'll be in Springfield, Missouri on the 6th. The following week after that is, I would say, a hometown rodeo. It's probably the closest professional rodeo to my hometown in Franklin. I'll be there that Thursday or Friday night, so I still don't know the dates, but I'll be there that Friday night. Clarksville, Tennessee, the following Saturday night. And then I'm trying to think of where else. That's my next 2 weeks. I try to shoot for 2 weeks at a time.
That's great. All right. Well, I'll see you. I'll look for you at the Franklin Rodeo. That'll be fantastic to get you off the computer and see you right there in real life.
That'd be awesome.
Thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck in the future.
I appreciate it.
Hey, you guys, this is Senator Ted Harvey, chairman of the committee to defeat the president. And I want to encourage you all to continue to watch, continue to listen to the Mill Creek View podcast. It's a great podcast, and you need to give them your support. Thanks.
Welcome to the Steve and Steve segment of our show, where we cover what we just heard. Producer Steve, what'd you think of our guest, national champion Cole Walker?
What an inspiring young man that guy is. I just want to say thank you, Cole, for coming on the show, being part of the Mill Creek family now. And thank you for Coach Luthi, who for many decades has inspired young men and young women to be the best they can be. And Steve, he said, you asked him, do you think you want to be a coach? He says, I'm not wired that way. And then off air, he said, what you guys were talking, Coach Luthi was just like him. But, you know, 15 years later, he started coaching. So what a wonderful time. It was just nice to have no politics and just have the story of successful and individual. And you know what he said? Nose to the grindstone and 80% in your head. And we can apply that, folks, to our businesses, to our marriages, to our relationships, to life. Just like you're building this show, Steve, it's step by step. Every day you're working it. Every day you're working it, and you're growing. You're getting more listeners. You're getting more followers, and that's how you build a business. And so I just took a lot of just really good tips from a nice young man, and I wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah, me too. I look forward to seeing him next week. Okay, do you agree that elected officials work for their constituents, or are there citizens beneath them?
Oh my goodness, I think there are a lot of them that think their citizens are beneath them.
I think you're right. California mayor loses his crap, challenges citizens to go outside in wild city council meeting. The star of this story is Democrat Mayor Lamar Thorpe. In 2020, he was elected mayor with 45% of the vote. He ran on a platform of neighborhood safety, police reform, homelessness and blight, as a self-described soldier in the political revolution. To say his tenure has been turbulent on a personal level is an understatement. Let's hear him in action.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council members. I have a number of bulleted items. Measure C passed with 68.9% of the vote. That was in 2013. Measure W passed with 66% of the favorable vote. Both these measures were sold to the public as an effort to increase safety and security in the city of Antioch by increasing the police force. There was the mandate. Lamar claims he has a mandate from the public with a 44% popular vote, Tamisha with a 33% popular vote, and Monica with a 35% popular vote. Based on Facebook postings by Ellie Householder and Lacey Ferguson, plus his previous issue while working in the county, I believe Lamar should be investigated by the city attorney to determine if he has created a hostile work environment. You should be doing that. I would like an audit of text messages between Lamar and Shagufa during the period of time Shamusha Shagufa was charged. You want audits? Let's get an audit of your text messages.
Get it. Let's get it.
I would like to see, we'll get it. I'd like to see the police cam video when officers went to council member Tamisha's home. I'd like to see that. I would like to know the agreement between Con Johnson and the city as to how he's going to be paid when he's released from his job, because you guys know you're going to be paying him a lot of money. I'd like to know the selection criteria used to select Con Johnson as a city manager and who else was evaluated for the position. Finally, because I won't stay for the other one, management and leadership consultants all agree that it takes 7 to 8 years to affect culture change. Not one, not two. I personally believe that we're in the midst of a positive culture change with our previous two police chiefs, and that our present police chief, Dr. Ford, is another positive addition to making this happen. If you keep changing people, keep making excuses of a poor job you, our city council, are doing.
All right, settle down, everybody. Settle down. But that is a dog whistle racism. An apologist for what's absolutely wrong in this city. That is. You want to go outside right now? Let's go. I am sick and tired of being attacked by these people in this community, apologizing for the racism that is going on in this community. You're the problem. You're the problem.
Racism. The guy didn't say anything about race. He was just talking about getting the law under order. Steve, where'd that come from?
Mayor Thorpe is a petty autocrat with no constraints on his appetites and rages because there is no political opposition in most of California. He needs the attention because he should not be able to stealth maneuver himself into higher office, even in California. All right, we've got our own problems here. Far left late night TV's ad revenue collapses 41% by John Nolte. The ad revenue for America's far left late night TV shows has collapsed 41% in just 5 years. Gee, I wonder what changed. In 2018, 7 late night programs, NBC's Tonight and Late Night, CBS Late Show and Late Late Show, ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Live, Comedy Central's Daily Show, and NBC's Saturday Night Live, drew more than $698 million in advertising in 2018, according to Vivix, a tracker of ad spending. By 2022, that came total to $412.7 million, a drop of approximately 41% over 5 years. Fallon, Kimmel, Colbert, and the others have all in recent years had to grapple not only with viewers moving to streaming, but with a coronavirus pandemic that forced their shows to embrace performances without a band and live audiences and absences due to infection. Of course, Variety blames the China flu. Guess how many paragraphs of this "please like us Jimmy's" propaganda you have to read before Variety bothers to mention the king of late night, Greg Gutfeld. 22. Greg Gutfeld is the undisputed king of late night, and in a 4,500-word Variety piece discussing late night, Gutfeld is not mentioned for 22 paragraphs. Guess how many times Gutfeld's mentioned in the 26 paragraphs that followed paragraph 22?
I don't know. I have no clue.
Never. Not once. Gutfeld is mentioned only 3 times in the entire 4,500-word piece. Jimmy Kimmel, whose ratings are lower than Gutfeld's, rates 17 mentions. Let's return to the advertising revenue. 5 years ago, these left-wing shows earned almost $700 million per year. Now it's closer to $400 million. Does that even cover the budgets to produce this junk? Anyway, that's how poisoned by politics the entertainment world has become. These propagandists are willing to lose about $300 million per year to lecture, harass, lie, and spread hate. In a global context, the U.S. is an anomaly when it comes to pharmaceutical advertising. The only other country where such advertising is permitted is New Zealand. Good Morning America is brought to you by Pfizer. CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer. Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer. ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Pfizer. CNN Tonight, brought to you by
Pfizer.
Correct. Pharma advertising was authorized in the U.S. by the FDA as far back as 1938. Following the passage of the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act in 1962, Congress formally granted the FDA statutory authority to regulate prescription drug labeling and advertising. In 1969, the FDA issued its final regulations for prescription drug advertising. These regulations state ads must not be false or misleading, must present a fair, balanced, or information describing both the risk and benefit of a drug, must include facts that are material to the drug's promoted uses, and must include a brief summary mentioning every risk described in the product's labeling.
Side effects, since then, maybe headaches, maybe death, maybe loss of limb, maybe loss of life.
Eyeballs burning. Yeah. Since then, the FDA has turned relaxed. I'm sorry. Since then, the FDA has further relaxed its regulations in 1995 and in 2004. This relaxation led to a boom in pharmaceutical advertising, and as regulation has loosened, the number of enforcement actions taken by the FDA has also declined. Not only is Comcast a major cable television and telecommunications provider, but it is the parent company of NBC Universal, which in turn is the parent company of NBC and CNBC. Let's listen to clip number two.
To anyone. These are our children.
A passionate and tearful Jimmy Kimmel addressed the Texas school shooting on Wednesday's episode of Jimmy Kimmel Live. Wednesday was the first time Kimmel was able to talk about the tragedy, as the previous night's show had already been taped before news broke of the school shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, that saw an 18-year-old gunman murder 19 children and 2 adults. Kimmel appeared without a studio audience and addressed the camera directly, struggling to compose himself as he spoke.
Here we are again. On another day of mourning in this country, once again, we grieve.
The host began by laying out how Republicans and pro-gun advocates seek to depoliticize the shooting.
They don't want to speak about it because they know what they've done, and they know what they haven't done, and they know that it's indefensible. So they'd rather sweep this under the rug.
Kimmel then spoke out about most Americans supporting keeping guns out of the hands of criminals and children and pointing to the Senate blocking gun control legislation.
They're listening to the NRA. They're listening to those people who write them checks, who keep them in power, because that's the way politics works.
The late night host then appealed directly to Texas pro-gun Republicans like Senator Ted Cruz.
It's okay to admit you made a mistake. In fact, it's not just okay, it's necessary to admit you made a mistake when your mistake is killing the children in your state.
Kimmel concluded that we can't continue to ignore this problem.
This is not a time for moments of silence. This is a time to be loud and to stay loud and not stop until we fix this.
For more details on the story, head to THR.
Jimmy, you promoted the jab, you promoted the masking, you promoted everything, and how many kids have died because of that? Come on.
See? Not very funny. All right, next up. Tennessee's Holler founder's home shot at over the weekend, deputies say. The Williamson County Sheriff's Office said deputies were investigating the shooting that happened in the Falls Grove neighborhood. The founder of the Tennessee Holler, a progressive news outlet with branches across the state, said on social media his Middle Tennessee home was shot at over the weekend. Justin Canoe founded the outlet. He said the shooting happened on Saturday, April 1st. The Williamson County Sheriff's Office said deputies were investigating that shooting. Williamson County said it happened in the Fall Grove neighborhood of College Grove, Tennessee. Deputies were called to the home. They said shots were fired into it. They said shots were fired between 10 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. on April 1st. This violence has no place in civilized society, and we are thankful no one was physically hurt. Canoe said on social media, we urge the Williamson County Sheriff's Office to continue to investigate this crime and help shed light on Saturday's unfortunate events and bring the perpetrators of this crime to justice. In the statement, he also said his family and children were healthy and safe. Thank God for that. There is no place for violence in politics, people. Opinions should be freely expressed without fear of harm. That's what the Second and First Amendments are. Second, I meant that. Seattle Public Schools hit with federal civil rights complaints for racial segregation. District hasn't responded to a year of warnings from Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism group says. The Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism filed a complaint Tuesday with the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights against the district's Pathfinder K-8 school after a year of unheeded warning that its practice violates Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. Its fair first OCR complaint and the most egregious version of racial segregation it has seen in submissions to its tracking portal. Managing Director of Legal Advocacy Leah Ann O'Neill told Just the News, multiple sets of Pathfinder parents started notifying FAIR in November 2021, but have not spoken publicly for fear of being called a bigot, she said. There's precedent for a federal investigation. Even in the Biden administration, Atlanta Public Schools is under a long-delayed OCR probe for alleged segregation of Black students in their own classrooms and retaliating against parents who objected to their daughter's placement in such a classroom. Recently separated a majority Black school from majority white schools in an academic recovery summer program. FAIR complaint lays out Pathfinder's investigation to BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, people of color, and multiracial families and students for events and programs, including a community cafe, feedback-oriented listening sessions, and lunchtime community building groups. Pathfinder said last fall it would offer affinity groups for BIPOC, mixed-race white and Jewish participants, but apparently cut it back to just Black students in January to be first offered to middle schoolers and then elementary students. The purpose of the segregation is starkly different based on the racial group, according to statements O'Neill's letter attributed to Principal Brittany Holmes. Participants in the white group will embrace, excavate, I don't know what that has to do with anything, and reckon with their whiteness. It really does say excavate, including their privilege and power, and examine how to center the voices and experiences of BIPOC without harming and or re-traumatizing BIPOC. The BIPOC group, by contrast, gives participants a time to take care of themselves and one another while unpacking racism, internalizing oppression, and radicalizing trauma. Discussing the impact of white supremacy culture and the pressure of assimilation in the absence of whiteness, Holmes wrote. That a public school might offer a racially segregated group for every race of student within the school does not mitigate the illegality of this practice. Under longstanding Supreme Court and OCR precedents, O'Neill's OCR letter says, it also teaches students it is unsafe to be around those who do not share the same skin color. Nothing screams celebrating diversity like school-sponsored racism, KTTH radio host Jason Rantz wrote March 14th, marveling that the emailed version of the newsletter links to the district's non-discrimination policy. SPS and its overwhelming white progressive educators think they're doing racial minorities a favor by treating them as an other, but they're creating division, Rantz wrote, investigating the public to file discrimination complaints with the district. Stay tuned for my thought of the week. Welcome to my quotes for the day. But before I share, I want to remind everyone to subscribe to Mill Creek View Podcast. Just go to Spotify or Rumble or iTunes and hit the subscribe button and follow us or like button. While you're there, leave a comment. And thanks for doing it. You'll ride a black tornado across the western sky. You'll rope an old blue northern and milk it till it's dry. Bulldog the Mississippi and pin its ears down flat long before you take this cowboy's hat. He said, partner, now this old hat, it's been left alone. You see, it used to be my daddy's, but last year he passed on. My nephew skinned the rattler that makes up this old hat band, but back in 69, he died in Vietnam. The cowboy hat. Chris Ledoux was an American music singer-songwriter, bronze sculptor, and Hall of Fame rodeo champion. During his career, Ledoux recorded 36 albums, which have sold more than 6 million units. In 1970, Ledoux became a professional rodeo cowboy on the national circuit. To help pay his expenses with traveling the country, he began composing songs describing his lifestyle. Within 2 years, he had written enough songs to make an album and soon established a recording company, American Cowboy Songs, with his father. After recording his songs in a friend's basement, Ledoux began selling his tapes at rodeo events out of the back of his pickup truck. In 1976, Ledoux won the World Bareback Riding Championship at the National Finals Rodeo in Oklahoma City. Dear rodeo, I'd be lying if I tried to tell you I don't think about you. After all the miles and the wild nights that we've been through, Lord knows we had a few. Dear rodeo, I'd like to say that I took the reins and rode away. No regrets, no lefts unsaid. Just turn the page. Oh, but you know better, babe. Between the almost haddams and broken bones, the dream of a buckle I'll never put on. I'm jaded, whoa, I hate it. But somehow the highs outweigh the lows, and I'd do it all again, even though we both know I'd still have to let you go. Dear Rodeo, Cody Johnson. Cody Daniel Johnson, born May 21st, 1987, is an American country music singer-songwriter. He self-released 6 albums, including Gotta Be Me, which debuted at number 2 on Billboard's country albums charts before releasing his first major label album, Ain't Nothing to It, in January 2019. He released his second major label album, Human, the double album, on October 2021. Johnson made Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo history by becoming the first unsigned independent artist to play to a sold-out crowd on March 12, 2018. Here's one you all know. His eyes are cold and restless, and his wounds have almost healed, and she'd give half of Texas just to change the way he feels. She knows his love's in Tulsa, and she knows he's going to go. Well, it ain't no woman, flesh and blood. It's that damned old rodeo. Garth Brooks, Rodeo. That's it for this episode. Really hoped you liked it. Thank you, Cole Walker, for bringing a championship to Tennessee. Until next time, this is your host, Steve Abramowitz, editor-in-chief of mcview.us. Peace in our time.
County Fair. They were looking for America behind every turn, flying the very colors that so many love to burn. I'll cruise the countryside with my dad and my brother, row after row of cotton and corn, moving through this place just like rolling thunder. Lord, I love the land where I
Any views or opinions represented on the podcast are personal and belong solely to the creator and do not represent those of people, institutions, or organizations that the creator may or may not be associated with in a professional or personal capacity unless explicitly stated.